Minnesota Commercial Driver's Manual, written by Minnesota Department of Public Safety, published by Minnesota Department of Public Safety. Copyright 2014. Copyright owner, Minnesota Department of Public Safety. This is a recording by Minnesota State Services for the Blind. Any further reproduction or distribution in a format other than a specialized format is an infringement of the copyright. This book has one DAISY navigation level. Level 1 contains sections. Table of contents. Part A, Minnesota Commercial Driver's License Requirements, page 1. Class of Licenses, page 1. Endorsements and Restrictions, page 2. Commercial Driver's License Tests, page 3. Medical Requirements, page 5. General Information, page 8. Information Directory, page 13. Minnesota Trucking Regulations, page 14. Part B, Minnesota School Bus Driver's Handbook, page 17. AAMVA Commercial Driver License Manual, Introduction, page 1-1. Driving Safely, page 2-1. Transporting Cargo Safely, page 3-1. Transporting Passengers Safely, page 4-1. Air Brakes, page 5-1. Combination Vehicles, page 6-1. Doubles and Triples, page 7-1. Tank Vehicles, page 8-1. Hazardous Materials, page 9-1. Pre-trip Vehicle Inspection, page 10-1. Basic Vehicle Control Skills Test, page 11-1. On-Road Driving, page 12-1. Footnote: to determine what sections to study, see chart on page 1-2. Continuing with the table of contents. This manual is a summary of Minnesota's commercial driver's license requirements. For complete standards, consult Minnesota state statutes and rules. This document is not a proper legal authority to cite in court. For more information on Minnesota driving laws and rules for all drivers, refer to the Minnesota Driver's Manual. This manual is printed by permission of the DPS. This commercial driver's manual is prepared by the Division of DVS with permission of the DPS. This information can be made available in alternative format to individuals with disabilities. For assistance, call 651-297-3298 or TTY 651-282-6555. Part A, Minnesota Commercial Driver's License Requirements. The Commercial Motor Vehicle Safety Act of 1986 requires each state to have the same minimum standards for commercial driver licensing. You must have a commercial driver's license, CDL, to operate any of the following commercial motor vehicles, CMV, in Minnesota. A combination of vehicles in which the gross combination weight, GCW, is more than 26,000 pounds and the towed unit has a gross vehicle weight, GVW, of more than 10,000 pounds. Minimum age is 18. Footnote: Minnesota law defines gross vehicle weight, GVW, as the greater of the actual weight of the vehicle or combination of vehicles plus the weight of the load, or the manufacturer's gross vehicle weight rating, GVWR. Footnote: the minimum age listed is that at which you may apply for a Minnesota CDL. State and federal motor carrier regulations may set different age limits for operating a CMV. Continuing with the text. A single vehicle with a GVW exceeding 26,000 pounds. Minimum age is 18. A vehicle designed to transport more than 15 persons, including the driver. Minimum age is 18. Any size vehicle that requires hazardous materials placards. In most cases, you must be 21 years of age to transport hazardous materials. Footnote: a driver of a motorized tank truck vehicle having a capacity of less than 3,500 gallons, who is engaged in the intrastate transportation of petroleum products, or employees of fertilizer or agricultural chemical retailers that transport agricultural chemicals directly from the retailer location to a farm, must be at least 18 years of age. Drivers using these exceptions must operate exclusively within Minnesota. Contact the Minnesota Department of Transportation, MnDOT, Office of Motor Carrier Services for complete information. Continuing with the text. Any size vehicle outwardly equipped and identified as a school bus. Minimum age is 18. Interstate transportation refers to trade, traffic, or transportation between a state and another state or country, or two places in a state on a route that goes through another state or country, or two places in a state as part of trade, traffic, or transportation originating or terminating outside the state. Intrastate commerce refers to any trade, traffic, or transportation that occurs entirely within the state of Minnesota and that is not interstate or foreign commerce. Intrastate transportation refers to transportation that does not involve interstate travel. Commercial motor carrier requirements. If you operate any class of vehicle as an employer or employee, you may be subject to commercial motor carrier requirements. This includes driving single-unit and combination vehicles of over 10,000 pounds GVW, such as construction vehicles, and vehicles used to deliver packages and other articles. Also included are vehicles designed or used to transport more than 8 passengers, including the driver, for compensation. The requirements may include the need to possess a valid U.S. Department of Transportation, DOT, medical examiner's certificate, and restrictions on the number of hours you may drive. There may also be vehicle maintenance, insurance, and inspection requirements. For additional information, contact the State Patrol at 651-405-6196 or the MnDOT Office of Freight and Commercial Vehicle Operations at 651-215-6330 or visit their website at www.dot.state.mn.us/CVO. Commercial Driver's License Classes. Class A. Any vehicle towing a unit of more than 10,000 pounds GVWR with a gross combination weight rating, truck plus trailer, over 26,000 pounds. Class B, a single unit vehicle that is over 26,000 pounds GVWR. For a passenger endorsement, the skills road test must be passed in a bus with a GVWR greater than 26,000 pounds and a passenger capacity of more than 15, including the driver. For a school bus endorsement, the skills test must be passed in a school bus with a GVWR greater than 26,000 pounds and a passenger capacity of more than 15, including the driver. Class C, a single unit vehicle, 26,000 pounds GVWR or less, with one or more of the following endorsements: hazardous materials, passenger, school bus with passenger endorsement. Your license may be restricted to the size and type of vehicle you use for the road test. Unless the CMV used for testing has air brakes, you will be restricted to driving vehicles without air brakes, even if you passed the air brake knowledge test. Endorsements and restrictions. Additional testing and fees are required to add endorsements or remove restrictions from your CDL. Adding school bus and passenger transport endorsements requires a road test in an appropriate vehicle. To renew a hazmat or school bus endorsement, you need to retake the knowledge test. The knowledge test is not required to renew licenses with other endorsements. In order to renew or upgrade your driver's license with school bus, hazmat, or other endorsements, you must pass a written test for each endorsement. Endorsements, H, hazardous materials. Footnote, see page 11 for more information about the hazmat endorsement. continuing with the text. N, tank vehicle. P, passenger transport. S, school bus. T, doubles and triples. X, tanker and hazardous materials. Restrictions. K, intrastate only. L, vehicles without air brakes. Fees for commercial driver's license, CDL. Over 21, Class A, $45.25. Class B, $37.25. Class C, $30.25. Under 21, intrastate only. Class A, $25.25. Class B, $37.25. Class C, $30.25. Examination fee for each endorsement, $2.50. School bus physical processing fee, original and renewal application, $4. Motorcycle endorsement renewal fee, $13. Enhanced license fee, in addition to regular license fee, $15. Duplicate license fee, $15.75. Total license fee includes additional fees per Minnesota Statute 171.06, Subdivision 2. Retesting fee, third and subsequent knowledge test, after failing first two, $10. Retesting fee, third and subsequent road or skills test, after failing first two, $20. To add endorsements to an existing CDL, you must pass the appropriate tests and apply for a duplicate license. Adding school bus, passenger, or motorcycle endorsement requires a road test in an appropriate vehicle. You have up to 30 days after becoming a Minnesota resident to obtain your CDL. Who is exempt from CDL licensing in Minnesota? Federal law allows states the option to waive certain kinds of drivers from the requirement to obtain a CDL. In Minnesota, the following drivers are not required to hold a CDL. Drivers operating an authorized emergency vehicle, as defined in Section 169.011, Subdivision 3, whether or not in excess of 26,000 pounds gross vehicle weight. Drivers operating all farm trucks, if the farm truck is controlled and operated by a farmer, including operation by an immediate family member or an employee of the farmer. Used to transport agricultural products, farm machinery, or farm supplies, including hazardous materials, to or from a farm. Not used in the operations of a common or contract motor carrier, as governed by Code of Federal Regulations, Title 49, Part 365. Used within 150 miles of the farm. Drivers operating a recreational vehicle, as defined in Section 168.002, Subdivision 27, that is operated for personal use. Backup snowplow drivers who are operating a commercial motor vehicle for the purpose of removing snow or ice from a roadway by plowing, salting, or sanding if the person is an employee of a local unit of government with a population of 3,000 or less, is operating within the boundaries of the local unit of government, holds a valid Class D driver's license, except in the event of a lawful strike, is temporarily replacing the employee who normally operates the vehicle, but either is unable to operate the vehicle or is in need of additional assistance due to a snow emergency as determined by the local unit of government. Commercial driver's license tests. Knowledge tests. You will take one or more CDL knowledge tests, described later in this manual, depending on class of license and endorsements. The knowledge test is offered in English, on paper, or on a computer. Headphones are available to allow you to hear the questions as you read them. You may attempt each knowledge test once per day. You must be at least 18 years old and have a valid Minnesota driver's license in order to obtain a Minnesota Commercial Learner Permit, CLP. All first-time applicants for a CDL must obtain a 6-month CLP, which will allow them to practice driving the commercial vehicle only with another driver with the same class license or higher. The permit is not renewable. The applicant must retake the knowledge tests. While practice driving with a CLP, drivers practicing to obtain a passenger and or school bus endorsement are prohibited from operating a CMV carrying passengers other than the accompanied licensed driver, other trainees, or test examiners. Drivers practicing driving with a tank endorsement can only operate an empty tank vehicle. Drivers practicing to obtain a tank endorsement are prohibited from operating any tank vehicle that previously contained hazardous materials that has not been purged of any residue. It is prohibited to operate a CMV transporting hazardous materials. A currently licensed CDL driver who wishes to upgrade to a higher class or is taking the CDL skills test to add endorsements or remove restrictions must take all knowledge tests that are applicable to the CMV they will test in, regardless of the class of license the driver currently holds. If the driver currently holds a CDL with either school bus or hazardous materials and the upgrade will change the year of expiration on their driver's license, the school bus or hazardous materials knowledge tests will need to be passed. When a CDL road test is required, CDL knowledge tests applicable to the vehicle type to be used for the road test must be passed prior to the road test. This includes air brake knowledge test if testing in a CMV with air brakes, tanker knowledge test if testing in a CMV with a tank capacity of 119 gallons or more, hazardous materials knowledge test if testing in a CMV that is placarded, passenger knowledge test if testing in a bus with 16 or more passengers, including the driver, passenger and school bus knowledge tests if testing in a school bus. The following chart will determine which knowledge tests or tests are needed when obtaining or upgrading your CDL. CLP Class B, knowledge tests, general knowledge, air brake, tanker. CLP Class B with passenger, knowledge tests, general knowledge, air brake, passenger. CLP Class B with passenger and school bus, knowledge tests, general knowledge, air brake, passenger, school bus. CLP Class A, knowledge tests, general knowledge, air brake, combination, tanker. Footnotes. Air brake knowledge test is only required if the test vehicle is equipped with air brakes. Tanker knowledge test is only required if the test vehicle is a tank vehicle. Continuing with the text. Skills tests. When you pass the required knowledge tests, you may take the CDL skills test. The CDL skills test is broken into three phases. 1. The pre-trip inspection. 2. The basic control skills, and 3. The road test. You must take these tests in the type of vehicle for which you wish to be licensed. When taking the skills tests, you must show proof of the GVWR, gross vehicle weight rating, to the examiner. If you are testing in a bus, you must also show proof of the passenger capacity. This information is usually located on a metal tag or sticker on the left door frame or in the cab of the vehicle. The CMV used for testing must display valid inspection stickers and show proof of current insurance when applicable. Trucks must have a securely fastened passenger seat, and the passenger door must open from the inside. The driver and passenger seat belts must work properly. Seats and seat belts should be clean. No smoking is allowed during the test. The vehicle must be clear of smoke before the examiner enters the vehicle. A Class A road test will not be allowed for a tow truck towing another vehicle. The only exception is if the towed unit has a functional braking system that is applied by the driver. A truck tractor without a semi-trailer is not acceptable for a Class B road test. For all Class A tests, Apply the trailer brakes and attempt to pull forward to test the trailer connection before leaving the curb. Pre-trip inspection. Purpose. The pre-trip inspection determines whether the vehicle is safe to drive. Minnesota law requires drivers to complete a daily inspection. For the test, you will perform a complete or partial pre-trip inspection. Test procedure. Drivers will be asked to perform a pre-trip inspection of the vehicle and to explain to the examiner what is being inspected and why. The examiner will mark on a scoring form each item that you correctly inspect and explain. Checklists are available at driver exam stations and in Section 10 of this manual. You may use the checklist during the pre-trip inspection portion of the test. The vehicle must be safe and all major systems must work properly. This includes the lights, air brakes or other braking system, and emergency brakes. Any major system that does not work properly must be repaired before the road test will be given. During the pre-trip inspection, you must point out each item to the examiner and explain what problems you would look for on a cold vehicle. You must mention the main points listed in order to get credit for checking that item. You are not required to get under the vehicle or check fluids. Basic control skills. Purpose. The basic control skills test determines your ability to control the vehicle. Setup. The test consists of exercises performed in an area marked out by lines and/or traffic cones. Straight backing exercise. You will be asked to back your vehicle in a straight line between two rows of cones without touching or crossing over the exercise boundaries. Offset backing exercise. You will be asked to back your vehicle, either to the right or the left, into an adjacent lane. Alley dock exercise. You will be asked to back your vehicle into an alley, bringing the rear of your vehicle as close as possible to the rear of the alley without going beyond the exercise boundary. Note, there is a 5-minute time limit on each of the above exercises. It is acceptable for the driver to exit the vehicle during the offset backing and alley dock exercises, but the time used to exit the vehicle and assess the situation is included in the 5-minute time limit. The examiner will explain how each exercise is to be done. You will be scored on how well you stay within the exercise boundaries, how many corrections you make, and observation skills. Road test. Purpose. The road test evaluates your ability to drive safely in a variety of situations. Testing procedure. The test drive is taken over a route specified by the examiner. It may include left and right turns, intersections, railway crossings, curves, rural or semi-rural roads, city multi-lane streets, expressway driving, and multi-turn lane maneuvers. You will drive over the test route following instructions given by the examiner. During the route, the examiner will score specific tasks such as turns, merging, lane changes, and speed control. The driver will also score whether you correctly perform tasks such as signaling, searching for hazards, and lane positioning. The examiner will not try to trick you or direct you to do anything that is illegal. Practice time may be assigned if the road test is failed. A $20 testing fee will be charged on the third or subsequent attempts to pass the road test. Driver's training is required after a fourth road test is failed. Medical requirements. Under the driver qualification rules, a driver must be physically qualified to drive a commercial motor vehicle. Details for medical examinations are found in Code of Federal Regulations, Title 49, Section 391.43. For medical examinations conducted on or after May 21, 2014, the medical examination must be completed by a certified medical examiner who is listed on the National Registry of Certified Medical Examiners per 49 CFR 391.42. The locations of certified medical examiners are found on the National Registry. Visit https://nationalinformationsystem.fmcsa.dot.gov/nrpublicuie/home.seam. Recent changes in federal regulations and state law requires all CDL holders and drivers applying for a commercial learner permit, CLP, to certify their commercial operating status. CDL holders and CLP applicants subject to medical examination requirements will need to submit a valid medical examiner certificate to the Department of Public Safety. Minnesota drivers applying for an original, renewal, or duplicate commercial driver's license, CDL, and Minnesota drivers applying for a commercial learner's permit, CLP, will be required to self-certify their medical certification status by completing the Commercial Driver License Medical Self-Certification Form. This form is available on the DVS website at dvs.dps.mn.gov. CDL holders who are subject to medical examination requirements must provide a valid medical examiner's certificate and any accompanying medical waivers at the time of application. The medical examiner's certificate information will be noted on the individual's driving record. Commercial drivers who have been granted a medical waiver are required to have the medical waiver in their possession while driving commercial motor vehicles. Medical certificate renewal. A CDL holder will be required to complete the Commercial Driver License Medical Self-Certification Form and submit their valid medical examiner's certificate issued from a certified medical examiner before the medical certificate on file expires. Generally, a medical examiner's certificate will expire every 2 years. Depending on a driver's medical history, medical examiner's certificates could be issued for less than 2 years. The Department of Public Safety will send a notice to the driver's last known address 60 days prior to the expiration date of the medical examiner's certificate or waiver that is on file in the driver's record. The driver must fax or mail the completed commercial driver license medical self-certification form and their valid medical examiner's certificate to the DVS CDL unit or submit in person at a location that accepts driver license applications. It must be received on or before the expiration of the last medical examiner's certificate that is on file with the department to keep CDL driving privileges valid. If a driver does not pass the medical examination or submit the medical examiner's certificate within 2 years of the date of the last examination, the Commissioner of Public Safety will notify the driver that their CDL privileges are no longer valid. If the CDL is downgraded because of failure to submit the required medical examiner's certificate, the driver may reinstate their CDL and endorsements within 1 year by submitting a valid medical examiner's certificate. If downgraded or voluntarily surrendered for more than 1 year, the driver must retake the applicable CDL knowledge and road tests and reapply for the CDL. Medical waivers. Commercial drivers may be granted an intrastate waiver from the following physical qualification requirements: vision, insulin-dependent diabetes, deaf and hard of hearing, and limb impairment. Interstate drivers must submit medical waiver requests to the U.S. DOT, Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration. Interstate waiver information can be found at https://www.fmcsa.dot.gov/medicaleforward/driver/medicaleforward/drivers/medicaleforward/driver/medicaleforward/driver/medicaleforward/driver/medicaleforward/driver/medicaleforward/driver/medicaleforward/driver/medicaleforward/driver/medicaleforward/driver/medicaleforward/driver/medicaleforward/driver/medicaleforward/driver/medicaleforward/driver/medicaleforward/driver/medicaleforward/driver/medicaleforward/driver/medicaleforward/driver/medicaleforward/driver/medicaleforward/driver/medicaleforward/driver/medicaleforward/driver/medicaleforward/driver/medicaleforward/driver/medicaleforward/driver/medicaleforward/driver/medicaleforward/driver/medicaleforward/driver/medicaleforward/driver/medicaleforward/driver/medicaleforward/driver/medicaleforward/driver/medicaleforward/driver/medicaleforward/driver/medicaleforward/driver/medicaleforward/driver/medicaleforward/ Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration will have an indicator placed on their Minnesota CDL. Drivers with this medical variance are restricted from operating a commercial motor vehicle in Canada. Intrastate drivers must submit requests for medical waivers to the Minnesota DOT's Office of Motor Carrier Services. Intrastate waiver forms can be obtained from the MnDOT website at http://www.dot.dot.mn.us/cvo/credentials.html. Commercial drivers with a school bus endorsement may be granted an intrastate waiver from the following physical qualification requirements: vision, insulin-dependent diabetes, and limb impairment. Requests for school bus medical waivers are submitted to the Department of Public Safety, Driver and Vehicle Services. School bus medical waiver forms can be obtained from the DPS website at https://dps.mn.gov/DIVISONS/DVS/FORMS-DOCUMENTS/PAGES/DRIVERS-LICENSE-HFN-FORMS.ASPX. Commercial drivers granted an intrastate waiver will have a restriction placed on their driving record limiting operation to intrastate only. Note: any medical waiver or waivers granted must always be in the driver's possession when operating commercial motor vehicles. Check a driver's license and CDL medical status at www.mndriveinfo.org. Commercial driver license medical requirements. Federal Motor Carrier Safety Regulations 49 CFR 391, physical qualifications for drivers. A. A person shall not drive a commercial motor vehicle unless he or she is physically qualified to do so and, except as provided in Section 391.67, has on his or her person the original, or a photographic copy, of a medical examiner's certificate that he or she is physically qualified to drive a commercial motor vehicle. B. A person is physically qualified to drive a commercial motor vehicle if that person, 1. Has no loss of a foot, a leg, a hand, or an arm, or has been granted a waiver pursuant to Section 391.49, 2. Has no impairment of, Roman numeral 1, a hand or finger which interferes with prehension or power grasping, or Roman numeral 2, an arm, foot, or leg which interferes with the ability to perform normal tasks associated with operating a commercial motor vehicle, or any other significant limb defect or limitation which interferes with the ability to perform normal tasks associated with operating a commercial motor vehicle, or has been granted a waiver pursuant to Section 391.49. 3. Has no established medical history or clinical diagnosis of diabetes mellitus currently requiring insulin for control. 4. Has no current clinical diagnosis of myocardial infarction, angina pectoris, coronary insufficiency, thrombosis, or any other cardiovascular disease or variety known to be accompanied by syncope, dyspnea, collapse, or congestive cardiac failure. 5. Has no established medical history or clinical diagnosis of a respiratory dysfunction likely to interfere with his or her ability to control and drive a commercial motor vehicle safely. 6. Has no current clinical diagnosis of high blood pressure likely to interfere with his or her ability to operate a commercial motor vehicle safely. 7. Has no established medical history or clinical diagnosis of rheumatic, arthritic, orthopedic, muscular, neuromuscular, or vascular disease which interferes with his or her ability to control and operate a commercial motor vehicle safely. 8. Has no established medical history or clinical diagnosis of epilepsy or any other condition which is likely to cause loss of consciousness or any loss of ability to control a commercial motor vehicle. 9. Has no mental, nervous, organic, or functional disease or psychiatric disorder likely to interfere with his or her ability to drive a commercial motor vehicle safely. 10. Has distant visual acuity of at least 20/40, Snellen, in each eye without corrective lenses, or visual acuity separately corrected to 20/40, Snellen, or better with corrective lenses, distant binocular acuity of at least 20/40, Snellen, in both eyes with or without corrective lenses, field of vision of at least 70 degrees in the horizontal meridian in each eye, and the ability to recognize the colors of traffic signals and devices showing standard red, green, and amber. 11. First perceives a forced whispered voice in the better ear at not less than 5 feet with or without the use of a hearing aid, or, if tested by use of an audiometric device, does not have an average hearing loss in the better ear greater than 40 decibels at 500 hertz, 1,000 hertz, and 2,000 hertz with or without a hearing aid when the audiometric device is calibrated to the American National Standard, formerly ASA Standard, Z24.5-1951. 12. Does not use any drug or substance identified in 21 CFR 1308.11, Roman numeral 1, Schedule 1, an amphetamine, a narcotic, or other habit-forming drug. Roman numeral 2, does not use any non-Schedule 1 drug or substance that is identified in the other schedules in 21 Part 1308 except when the use is prescribed by a licensed medical practitioner, as defined in Section 382.107, who is familiar with the driver's medical history and has advised the driver that the substance will not adversely affect the driver's ability to safely operate a commercial motor vehicle, and 13, has no current clinical diagnosis of alcoholism. Sharing the road with bicyclists. Bicycles are legal vehicles on Minnesota roads, and they share the same rights and responsibilities as other vehicles. Bicycle lanes are designed to separate bicycle traffic from normal vehicle traffic. It is illegal to drive in these lanes except to enter or leave the road or to prepare for a turn. Before crossing a bicycle lane, make sure it is safe to do so. Yield the right-of-way to approaching bicyclists. When the bicycle lane is clear, signal your intention to turn and then move into the bicycle lane before making the turn. Use caution when passing a bicyclist. When passing, the law requires at least 3 feet between the side of your vehicle and the bicyclist. When approaching turns, be sure to check side mirrors for bicyclists. Zipper merge. When most drivers see the first lane closed ahead sign in a work zone, they slow quickly and move to the lane that will continue through the construction area. This can cause dangerous lane switching that is unexpected to other drivers, serious crashes, and road rage. When you see the lane closed ahead sign and traffic is backing up, stay in your current lane up to the point of merge. Then take turns with other drivers to safely and smoothly ease into the remaining lane. Handheld mobile telephone. Effective January 3, 2012, a commercial motor vehicle, CMV, driver is restricted from holding a mobile telephone to conduct a voice communication and dialing a mobile telephone by pressing more than a single button. Hands-free use is allowed via either an earpiece or the speakerphone function of the mobile telephone. Use of a handheld mobile telephone means 1. Using at least one hand to hold a mobile telephone to conduct a voice communication. 2. Dialing a mobile telephone by pressing more than a single button. Or 3. Reaching for a mobile telephone in a manner that requires a driver to maneuver so that he or she is no longer in a seated driving position, restrained by a seat belt that is installed in accordance with 49 CFR 393.93 and adjusted in accordance with the vehicle manufacturer's instructions. A driver of a CMV who desires to use a mobile phone while driving will need to use a mobile telephone, such as hands-free, located in close proximity to the driver that can be operated in compliance with this rule. The ease of reach or accessibility of the phone is relevant only when a driver chooses to have access to a mobile telephone while driving. Essentially, before driving the vehicle, the CMV driver must be ready to conduct a voice communication on a mobile telephone. Driving means operating a commercial motor vehicle on a highway, including while temporarily stationary because of traffic, traffic control device, or other momentary delays. Driving does not include operating a commercial motor vehicle when the driver has moved the vehicle to the side of, or off, a highway and has halted in a location where the vehicle can safely remain stationary. A driver's CDL will be disqualified after two or more convictions of any state law on handheld mobile telephone use while operating a CMV. Disqualification is 60 days for the second offense within 3 years and 120 days for three or more offenses within 3 years. In addition, the first and each subsequent violation of such a prohibition are subject to civil penalties imposed on such drivers in an amount up to $2,750. Motor carriers must not allow nor require drivers to use a handheld mobile telephone while driving. Employers may also be subject to civil penalties in an amount up to $11,000. There is an emergency exception that allows CMV drivers to use their handheld mobile telephones if necessary to communicate with law enforcement officials or other emergency services. Research commissioned by FMCSA shows that the odds of being involved in a safety-critical event, e.g. crash, near crash, unintentional lane deviation, is 6 times greater for CMV drivers who engage in dialing a mobile telephone while driving than for those who do not. Dialing drivers took their eyes off the forward roadway for an average of 3.8 seconds. At 55 mph, or 80.7 feet per second, this equates to a driver traveling 306 feet, the approximate length of a football field, without looking at the roadway. Implied consent law. If you drive a CMV on public roads in the state of Minnesota, you have automatically given your consent to a test of your blood, breath, or urine to determine alcohol and/or drug concentration. The following drug tests require urine samples: 1, marijuana, THC metabolite; 2, cocaine; 3, amphetamines; 4, opiates, including heroin; 5, phencyclidine, PC. If you refuse to submit to a chemical test, you will be disqualified from operating a commercial motor vehicle for a period of 1 year, and your driver's license will be revoked for 1 year. Alcohol offenses. Revocation of Class D, non-CDL, privileges and disqualification of CDL privileges. You may not drink alcohol while you are on duty or consume any alcoholic beverage within 4 hours before you go on duty. If you are found to have a blood alcohol concentration of 0.08% or more while operating a non-commercial vehicle, your Class D driving privileges will be revoked and you will be disqualified from driving CMVs for at least 1 year. Commercial license disqualifications. You will lose your CDL for at least 1 year for a first offense if, 1, you drive a CMV under the influence of alcohol or a controlled substance, for example, illegal drugs; 2, you refuse to submit to an alcohol or drug test; 3, you drive a CMV when your blood alcohol concentration is 0.04% or more; 4, your blood alcohol concentration is less than 0.04%, but you have any detectable amount, you will be put out of service for 24 hours. 5, you leave the scene of an accident involving a CMV that you were driving. 6, you use a CMV to commit a felony. 7, you drive with a revoked, suspended, canceled, denied, or disqualified CDL. 8, you cause a fatality through negligent or criminal operation of a CMV. 9, you commit an offense in another state that would be grounds for disqualification in Minnesota. If a first disqualifying offense occurs while you are operating a CMV that is placarded for hazardous materials, you will lose your CDL for at least 3 years. A second disqualifying offense will result in losing your CDL privileges for life. You will also lose your CDL for life if you use a CMV to commit a felony involving a controlled substance. Other offenses. If you have committed two serious traffic violations while operating a CMV within a 3-year period, you will lose your CDL for at least 60 days. If you have committed 3 serious traffic violations while operating a CMV within a 3-year period, you will lose your CDL for at least 120 days. Note, a limited license will not be issued for a Class A, B, or C license. If qualified, a limited license may be issued for Class D driving only. Notice of violation by commercial driver. The holder of a Minnesota CDL who is convicted of a criminal offense, a serious traffic violation, as defined in Code of Federal Regulations Title 49, Section 383.5, or of violating any other state or local law relating to motor vehicle traffic control, other than a parking violation, in any type of motor vehicle in another state or jurisdiction, shall notify the person's employer within 30 days after the date of conviction. Railroad grade crossing. When approaching a railroad grade crossing, you must stop your vehicle at least 15 feet and no more than 50 feet from the nearest railroad track when a clearly visible electric or mechanical signal device warns of the immediate approach of a railroad train. An approaching railroad train is plainly visible and is in hazardous proximity. A flag person is signaling the approach or passage of a train or when a crossing gate is lowered. The following vehicles are required to stop at all railroad grade crossings: buses carrying passengers, school buses, whether carrying passengers or not, placarded vehicles. Railroad grade crossing violation. You will be disqualified from operating a commercial motor vehicle for 60 days if you are convicted of a railroad grade crossing violation. 120 days if, during any 3-year period, you are convicted of 2 railroad grade crossing violations arising from separate incidents. 1 year if, during any 3-year period, you are convicted of 3 or more railroad grade crossing violations arising from separate incidents. Restricted seasonal commercial driver's license. You may qualify for a restricted Class B or C CDL without taking any tests if you are employed as a seasonal driver for a farm retail outlet or supplier, an agrochemical business, a custom harvester, or a livestock feeder. You must have held a valid driver's license for at least 1 year and during the past 2 years have not had more than one license, have not had your driving privileges suspended, revoked, or canceled for any reason while driving any type of motor vehicle, have not had any accident in which you were cited, have not been convicted of driving under the influence of alcohol or a controlled substance, leaving the scene of an accident, committing any felony involving a motor vehicle, or any other serious traffic violations. To upgrade to a restricted seasonal CDL, you may apply at any driver's license renewal office or a driver exam station that accepts driver's license applications. You will pay the full fee for the upgrade of license class you choose, including the motorcycle endorsement renewal fee if your license is so endorsed. To renew your seasonal license the following year, you must apply for a duplicate license to have your license restrictions updated. Restrictions. You may operate a CMV only during the seasonal period that you select, which may not exceed 180 consecutive days in a 12-month period. You may drive non-commercial vehicles all year. You must renew the restricted seasonal CDL before your driving season starts. You may not drive a CMV outside of a 150-mile radius of your place of business or the farm you are serving. When you are driving a vehicle that is required to display hazardous materials placards, you are strictly limited to 1,000 gallons or less of diesel fuel, liquid fertilizers, including anhydrous ammonia, in vehicles with a total capacity of 3,000 gallons or less, solid fertilizers that are not mixed with any organic substance. You are subject to all CDL disqualification penalties. You must maintain a good driving record or your commercial driving privileges will be canceled. For more information, contact a driver's license examination station in your area. Unlawful acts relating to your driver's license. It is unlawful for any person to 1. Display or have in possession any fictitious or altered driver's license or Minnesota identification card. 2. Use another name or a fictitious name and date of birth on any application for a driver's license or Minnesota identification card. 3. Alter any driver's license or Minnesota identification card. 4. Use another person's driver's license or Minnesota identification card. 5. Lend your driver's license or Minnesota identification card to any other person. 6. Take any part of the driver's license examination for another or permit another to take the examination for you. 7. Make a counterfeit driver's license or Minnesota identification card. 8. Give a name and date of birth of another person, or give a fictitious name and date of birth to a police officer for the purpose of falsely identifying yourself. 9. Display as a valid driver's license any canceled, revoked, or suspended driver's license. A person whose driving privileges have been withdrawn may display a driver's license only for identification purposes. Penalty: any person who violates provisions 7 or 8 is guilty of a gross misdemeanor. Any person who violates any other provision is guilty of a misdemeanor. Hazardous materials endorsement. Background check. Federal and state laws have been enacted to address national security concerns regarding the transportation of hazardous materials, HAZMAT. The Transportation Security Administration, TSA, will conduct a routine national background check that includes a review of criminal, immigration, and FBI records. Any applicant with a conviction, military or civilian, for certain violent felonies over the past 7 years, or who has been found mentally incompetent, will not be permitted to obtain or renew the HAZMAT endorsement. The checks will also verify that the driver is a U.S. citizen or lawful permanent resident as required by the USA Patriot Act. Only drivers applying for the HAZMAT endorsement will be affected. If disqualified to hold the HAZMAT endorsement, drivers may continue to transport all non-hazardous cargo. The federal rule provides an appeal process through TSA for cases in which the database information is incorrect to ensure that no driver loses the HAZMAT endorsement due to inaccurate records. Also, drivers who committed a disqualifying offense, were found to be mentally incompetent, or were committed to a mental institution may be granted a waiver if they prove that they are rehabilitated and capable of safely transporting hazardous materials. The following list of crimes, identified in 49 CFR 1572.103, disqualifies you from a HAZMAT endorsement. All of the crimes listed are disqualifying regardless of the jurisdiction, civilian or military. These crimes disqualify you for 7 years if you were convicted during the 7 years before the date of your application, or you were released from incarceration for any of these crimes during the 5 years before the date of your application: arson, assault with intent to murder, kidnapping or hostage taking, rape or aggravated sexual abuse, extortion, unlawful possession, use, sale, manufacture, purchase, distribution, receipt, transfer, shipping, transporting, delivery, import, export of, or dealing in a firearm or other weapon, distribution of, possession with intent to distribute, or importation of a controlled substance, fraudulent entry into a seaport as described in 18 U.S.C. 1036 or a comparable state law, dishonesty, fraud, or misrepresentation, including identity fraud and money laundering, where the money laundering is related to a crime listed in this section, except welfare fraud and passing bad checks, robbery, bribery, smuggling, immigration violations, conspiracy or attempt to commit any of the crimes listed in this section, violations of the Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act, 18 U.S.C. 1961, et sequitur, or a state law that is comparable, other than any permanently disqualifying offenses, voluntary manslaughter. These crimes disqualify you for a lifetime. Any crime listed in 18 U.S.C. 2332b, subsection G, terrorism, or a state law that is comparable, or conspiracy to commit such crime, espionage or conspiracy to commit espionage, treason or conspiracy to commit treason, violations of the Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act, 18 U.S.C. 1961, et sequitur, or a state law that is comparable, where one of the predicate acts found by a jury or admitted by the defendant consists of one of the permanently disqualifying crimes. A crime involving a transportation security incident. Threat or maliciously conveying false information, knowing the same to be false, concerning the deliverance, placement, or detonation of an explosive or other lethal device in or against a place of public use, a state or government facility, a public transportation system, or an infrastructure facility. Unlawful possession, use, sale, distribution, manufacture, purchase, receipt, transfer, shipping, transporting, import, export, storage of, or dealing in an explosive or explosive device. Sedition or conspiracy to commit sedition. Murder. Conspiracy or attempt to commit crimes listed in this section. Improper transportation of a hazardous material under 49 U.S.C. 5124 or a state law that is comparable. Fingerprints. Drivers who have or desire a hazmat endorsement are required to submit fingerprints as part of the license upgrade or renewal process. The Transportation Security Administration, TSA, will use the fingerprints to initiate a routine national background check. TSA requires proper ID and charges a fee for this service. For more information, for TSA fingerprinting locations and other hazardous materials endorsement information, visit the DVS website at dvs.dps.mn.gov. Material on page 13 omitted. Continuing with the text. Minnesota Trucking Regulations. The following information is included for your benefit and will not be included in any CDL testing. Because the information that follows is a general summary of the laws and rules, it should not be relied upon for the legal requirements of the rules. Further information on motor carrier regulations, including driver qualification requirements, health certificates, drug testing, and hazardous materials may be obtained from MnDOT Office of Freight and Commercial Vehicle Operations, 395 John Ireland Boulevard, St. Paul, Minnesota, 55125, 651-215-6330. CVO website, http://www.dot.state.mn.us/CVO. Minnesota Trucking Regulations, http://www.dot.state.mn.us/CVO/MCR/MNTRUCKREGL/ 2014mntruckreg.pdf. Driver qualification rules. A carrier in Minnesota is subject to the rules for driver qualifications if it operates vehicles that are any size, operating for hire in intrastate commerce, unless providing transportation described in Minnesota Statute 221.025, clauses F, J, L, and M. Over 10,000 pounds GVWR, operating in interstate commerce. Over 10,000 pounds GVWR, operating as a private carrier in intrastate commerce. Any size, transporting hazardous material of a type or quantity that requires the vehicle to be placarded. Exception. The driver qualification rules do not apply to vehicles controlled by a farmer and operated by a farmer or farm employee to transport agricultural products, farm machinery, or supplies to or from a farm, if the vehicles are not used in for-hire operations and are not carrying hazardous materials in a quantity requiring the vehicle to be marked or placarded. Alcohol and drug testing requirements. The Federal Highway Administration has rules requiring alcohol and drug testing of drivers who are required to have a commercial driver's license. The DOT rules include procedures for urine drug testing and breath or saliva testing. Pre-employment, drug, post-accident, reasonable suspicion, random, return to duty, and follow-up tests are required. Employers must provide their employees with detailed information about alcohol misuse, the employer's policy, the testing requirements, and how and where drivers can get help for alcohol and controlled substance abuse. Drug testing is conducted by analyzing a driver's urine specimen. The analysis is performed at laboratories certified and monitored by the Department of Health and Human Services. Maximum vehicle dimensions and weights. These are the maximum vehicle dimensions, loaded or unloaded, that may be operated on Minnesota highways. Height, 13 feet 6 inches. Width, 8 feet 6 inches, exclusive of rear view mirrors or temporary load securing devices, which may extend an additional 3 inches on each side of the vehicle or load. Length. Maximum lengths for various vehicles are: vehicle, each trailer or semi-trailer of a twin trailer combination, maximum length 28 feet 6 inches. Vehicle, single motor vehicle, maximum length 40 feet. Vehicle, trailer, two vehicle combination, maximum length 45 feet. Vehicle, mobile crane, maximum length 48 feet. Vehicle, semi-trailer, two vehicle combination, maximum length 48 feet. Vehicle, semi-trailer, two vehicle combination, distance from kingpin to center of rear axle group 43 feet 0 inches or less, maximum length 53 feet. Vehicle, truck-tractor with semi-trailer combination, twin-trailer combination, drive-away saddle mount combination, maximum length 75 feet. Footnote, these combinations are allowed to exceed 75 feet overall length only when operating on a four or more lane divided highway and other designated non-divided highways that make up the long combination vehicle, LCV, routes. Twin trailer combinations are not allowed to operate off designated LCV routes. Continuing with the text. Vehicle, two vehicle combinations, maximum length 75 feet. All length limits include front and rear overhang. Number of units. No more than two units in combination may travel on Minnesota highways. Exceptions are permitted for 28-foot 6-inch twin trailers and mount combinations in driveway operations. Weight limitations. Minnesota uses a number of different types of weighing equipment. These include portable scales, approved privately owned scales, and official weigh stations along state trunk highways and interstates. Designated highways. These are Minnesota's state trunk highway system, which include routes designated as Interstate, I, United States, U.S., and Minnesota, MN, plus certain designated local highways. All carry a 10-ton limitation. Limits are any single or dual wheel, 10,000 pounds. Any single axle, 20,000 pounds. Any vehicle combination with five or more axles with minimum spacing, 80,000 pounds. Non-designated highway limits. These are all other streets and county roads within the state. Any single or dual wheel, 9,000 pounds. Any single axle, 18,000 pounds. Any vehicle combination with five axles with minimum spacing, 73,280 pounds. Any vehicle combination with six or more axles with minimum spacing, 80,000 pounds. Bridges and seasonal road restrictions. Bridges with rated capacities less than the maximum legal limit in Minnesota have gross weight restrictions posted. You must observe these restrictions. Annually, from March 20 to May 15, township and county roads not paved with concrete are restricted to 5 tons per axle unless posted signs indicate otherwise. Throughout the year, any public roadway may be restricted to less than normal weights by signs that limit axle and axle group weights. Tire load. No tire may exceed 600 pounds per inch width on a steer axle or more than 500 pounds per inch width on non-steer axles. No more than 2 steer axles are allowed to carry the 600 pounds per inch tire width, 500 pounds on others. Casters or pivoting axles are tracking axles, not steering axles. Tire width is the manufacturer's tire width shown on the tire. In no instance may the manufacturer's recommended tire load carrying limit be exceeded. Variable load axles. A vehicle equipped with a variable load axle must have the pressure control preset and the means for adjusting pressure either secured or out of the driver's reach so that the driver may not vary the pressure while transporting a load. There are 2 exceptions to this restriction. It does not apply to a farm truck licensed in Class T for 57,000 pounds or less prior to July 1, 1981. Rear-loading tandem drive refuse compactors. Obtaining oversize, overweight permits. Before moving a vehicle, with or without a load, that exceeds legal dimensions, you must obtain an overdimension transportation permit. You must carry the permit in the vehicle during transport. The road authority over whose roadway you wish to travel must issue the overdimension transportation permit. A permit for use on state trunk highways may be obtained from the MnDOT Overdimension Permit Section, Minnesota Department of Transportation, 395 John Ireland Boulevard, St. Paul, Minnesota 55125, 651-296-6000. Following distance. Minnesota law requires that trucks and buses maintain a following distance of at least 500 feet on highways. This law does not apply when passing another vehicle or when traveling in a designated truck lane. A good way to judge a safe following distance behind another vehicle is to use the time interval method. The time interval works like this. 1. Choose a reference point on or near the road, a shadow, road repair patch, telephone pole, tree. 2. Count off the seconds it takes from the time the back of the vehicle ahead passes the reference point until the front of your vehicle passes the same point. An interval of about 8 seconds is required to maintain a following distance of 500 feet at 45 mph. While on residential or business streets, allow for at least 4 seconds for dry conditions and 6 seconds for wet or icy conditions. Finally, maintain at least a 50-foot interval when following another bus entering or leaving the school grounds. Commercial Vehicle Inspection Program. A Minnesota State Patrol certified inspector must inspect commercial motor vehicles annually. Vehicles that pass the inspection under the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Regulations will be issued a safety inspection decal that is valid for 1 year. A school bus or a bus operated by the Metropolitan Council Transit Operations or Local Transit Commission is not inspected under this program. Exception: the following vehicles must be inspected every 2 years and will be issued a safety inspection decal that is valid for 2 years if passed. A registered farm truck with a GVW of less than 57,000 pounds. A storage semi-trailer. A building mover vehicle. A carrier may have its mechanics certified by the Minnesota State Patrol to perform annual vehicle inspections. Certification is good for a period of 2 years. Questions about inspector certification should be directed to the Minnesota State Patrol at 1-888-472-3389. Decals for vehicles that have passed inspection may be purchased from MnDOT Office of Motor Carrier Services for $2. Driver Vehicle Inspection Reports. The driver of a CMV must conduct a daily inspection of the vehicle and make available to an officer, if requested, a copy of the inspection report. Farm truck drivers that are not required to have a CDL are also not required to fill out an inspection report.